Scripture this morning comes from Luke 14, verses 12 through 24. I'll be reading from the Common English Version. One Sabbath, Jesus went to share a meal in the home of one of the leaders of the Pharisees. Then Jesus said to the person who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers and sisters, your relatives, or rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind. And you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." When one of the dinner guests had heard Jesus' remarks, he said to Jesus, "Happy are those who will feast in God's kingdom." Jesus replied, "A certain man hosted a large dinner and invited many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell all the invited guests, 'Come, the dinner is now ready.' One by one, they all began to make excuses. The first one told him, 'I bought a farm and must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen and I'm going to check on them. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' When he returned, the servant reported these excuses to his master. The master of the house became angry and said to his servants, 'Go quickly to the city streets, the busy ones in the side streets, and bring the poor, crippled, blind, and lame.' The servant said, 'Master, your instructions have been followed, and there is still room.' The master said to the servant, 'Go to the highways and the back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" If you will open your bulletins and take out, we have an insert, "Seek Ye First."
You may be seated. Thank you, Randy, for the reminder that he is always there. Will you pray with me? Lord, open our eyes. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Dave and I had just moved to Southern California, and we'd only been at that church for a couple of weeks, and the young adult fellowship group invited us to a dinner at the church in the fellowship hall. Normally this was just young couples, but they also invited the young singles group to be involved in that so that they could welcome us all together. They had everything well planned out. In fact, they even had somebody from the group who was came to our home and picked us up to drive us to the church. The fellow arrived on time, and Dave and I got in the back seat, and as we're driving to the church, he said to us very quietly, "Would you like to stop and get a hamburger on the way?" So we thought that was a little odd. You know, why would we want to stop and eat something when we're on our way to a big dinner? But then he explained that these fellowship dinners were hosted by one of the couples, and each time a different couple hosted it and made the food. And since none of them had that much money, there usually wasn't a lot of food. And so, and rather not to embarrass people, everybody got used to eating before they came, and then they could eat just a little bit when they came. Well, we assured him that we were fine, that we didn't need to stop for a hamburger. And so we arrived in the fellowship hall, and we were in one half of it. There was one of those curtains pulled across, and tables were set up with paper plates and plastic silverware. There was about 35 or 40 there, and they welcomed us very warmly, and we stood around and mingled and talked for a while. And then the hostess of the evening got up, and she said, "You know, I just want to tell you that after the blessing, then you'll come, bring your plates, and you'll come up to the buffet table here and fill your plates." But then she asked Dave to pray, and then invited Dave and I to be the first ones at this buffet table. Now, I know what's in your picture in your mind for buffet, but there was a small plate with one roaster chicken on it. Kind of the kinds you buy at Kroger, already cooked. They're really good. They serve about a family of four. There were 40 of us there. And then there was a small bowl of mashed potatoes, an even smaller bowl of peas, and another one of corn, and a 9x9 little sheet cake. That's not even a sheet cake. That's a 9x9 cake. So Dave and I are the first ones. We've got our plates. We literally took one piece of meat and put it on our plate. We took a teaspoon of mashed potatoes, three peas and four or five kernels of corn and 1-inch square of cake. And then we went back and we sat down and we slowly ate our dinner to make it last as long as possible. Fortunately, on each table was a basket with little mini biscuits in it. And they seemed to be plentiful, so we filled up the empty spaces by eating a lot of those. But there was a lot of wonderful conversation at the table, and everybody was having a good time. But every once in a while, Dave was sitting across from me. We would catch each other's eyes. And you who are married know that you can look at your spouse, and you don't have to say a word, but you know what the other one is thinking. And we were both thinking, this is crazy. And we knew that some of the singles particularly had brought dates with them that had never been to the church before. And I'm sitting there so embarrassed, thinking, they will never come back. Well, after a while, when everybody had eaten, the president of the class got up, and she asked everybody, did everybody have enough to eat? And there was a resounding yes. And then she called up the host and hostess for that night, and everybody thanked them and cheered and clapped and whistled. And then the president turned to Dave and me and asked us if we had had enough to eat. And of course, we lied through our teeth. And we said, yes, we did. And then she said, well, we just want to be sure, because if not, we have a little left over. And I'm thinking, what do you have left over? And with that, she pulled back the curtain, and there was two huge buffet tables with a roasted turkey, heaps of mashed potatoes, all kinds of vegetables, a salad, and a big sheet cake welcoming us. We had been taken, and it was one of the best practical jokes that had ever been played on us. And so we all filled our plates up and enjoyed the food and had wonderful fellowship, and we got to see what a great creative and fun group this was that we were going to spend the next 9.5 years of ministry with. You know, I'm sure that there have been times in all of our lives, in your life and in mine, when we've accepted an invitation from a friend to, go to dinner, but then at the last minute we say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it, but maybe next time. But did you hear the scripture passage that Randy read to us from Luke? It's about dinner guests in Jesus' parable, and we see that stuff came up in their lives. They had accepted the invitation to the dinner, but when the time came to attend the dinner, life got hectic, and they said, maybe next time. And at first glance, they seem to be people who lead very busy lives, and they're making good decisions about their use of their time, preferring prior commitments to a dinner party. One had real estate to inspect. Another had a fleet of transportation to test out. And another one had a new bride who needed some attention. But deep within these acceptable regrets lies the heart of the matter. What appears to be nice regrets are really blatant excuses. One Bible commentator says, who would purchase a farm without going and inspecting it first? Who would buy five pairs of oxen or even one ox before checking them out? And who would accept an invitation to a banquet and forget that he's gotten married? These excuses sound like the guy asking a girl out on a date who says she's too busy because she has to wash her goldfish or iron her non-wrinkled clothes or plant plastic flowers. They aren't regretful friends. They're just being deceitful. The priorities of their lives trumps all else. They're saying, not now, but maybe later. And that wasn't an honest response, but simply a rejection. You and I have received the same invitation to the same banquet. God has invited us, and we have accepted, but then stuff comes up. We plan to attend, we confirm the invitation, but something comes up, and we have to excuse ourselves because we have our own agendas. And after a long day of work, we relax in our worn-out recliners to watch TV, and we settle into our routine. But before we become comfortable, we become aware of a commotion outside our window. And we get up to see what's happening. And when we look out, we see that there's a parade of marginalized people, complete with wheelchairs and seeing eye dogs and scooters and the disabled, the blind, the lame, and the poor. And we think the host must have been crazy to invite all these people just because we couldn't come. However, we, like our friends in the parable, we retire to our own specially prepared meals. No company, but good food. We schedule life on our terms. And someday we may attend the banquet, but not now. Maybe next time. Well, Luke tells us that the host was mad when he received all these regrets. And you see, all the guests had agreed to come, and then they all backed out at the last minute. But does it really bother us that the host gets upset? Because we've been stood up before, and it hurts. So we like to hear it when the owner of the house becomes angry, because he should. He's been snubbed. And when he tells the servant, "I tell you that none of those invited will taste my dinner," we think, right on, give. But the parable ends there. And even though we may turn our friends down from time to time, we know that they're going to call us back. And we can go the next time. Friends call back. So shouldn't God? Shouldn't God understand that we live busy lives? However, in the parable, we don't see our good friend God. Jesus flips our expectations. How many times do we see him doing that? He flips our expectations that everyone will end up at the dinner. And the parable leaves us confused. Every group addressed in the story has expectations that are turned upside down by Jesus. The poor, the disabled, the blind, the lame must be confused, wondering why all of a sudden this wealthy person would invite all of them to a dinner suddenly. Meanwhile, the invited guests become confused when they realize that they are the ones being shut out and blacklisted. Think about the people first hearing this story. Luke says that Jesus tells this parable while he's at a dinner party in the home of a wealthy Pharisee. And Jesus is suggesting that the people with whom he is eating are the ones locked out of the dinner. It isn't preaching to the choir, it's condemning the choir. Jesus flips our expectations, and we're left confused. But confusion draws us into community. When students come across a problem, what do? They ask for help. Many times teachers will put students in groups so that they can solve problems together. Questions draw us into community. And the problem with the people in this parable is they thought they already had all the answers. They believed that they could live life on their own terms and plan their own agendas. But those with all the answers ate dinner alone. Each of us has accepted God's invitation when we chose to follow Jesus. But are we taking advantage of the banquet that God has for us? At the end of every day, when we sit in our chairs to relax, the same crowd forms in the street, walking toward the banquet and toward the host house. The dinner goes on. Fortunately, we know that God's dinner is not a one-night stand. We didn't miss our chance. God's been serving up dinner for thousands of years, and we can be among those welcomed into the banquet if we stop being individual excusers with answers and become a community of travelers with questions, trading our self-assurance for God-reliance. The more that we see ourselves as a body and less as individuals, the closer we move to the banquet. The more we come together in worship and Sunday school and Bible study, the more we collect canned goods for the food pantry, the more we work at Andrew's house and the summer lunch program, the more we minister to those outside these walls, the closer we travel to the banquet together. And just like that practical joke played on Dave and me, we sometimes feast on the little nibbles of banquet that Jesus sets for us in his kingdom. But there is more, lots more. We just have to stick around long enough for the curtains to be parted, because there's so much more when we give ourselves wholeheartedly to Jesus and we join the throng in the streets. So this morning, you are again invited to come to the banquet and feast at God's table. Lord, we thank you that the invitation is always there. Help us to take advantage of all that you have for us at your table and all that you call us to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of response is number 2130 in the Black Book. This is probably new, but it is easy. And this is actually one of the hymns that they recommended for us for One Great Hour of Sharing, but I think it also fits into our morning this morning. 2130, The Summons. Mary Lou, would you play it through once for us so we can get the tune in our head? Verse 5. Lord. You may be seated. Welcome to the feast. This is the banquet of our Lord where all are fed. At this table there is room for everyone. This is not our table, but the Lord's table. It is He who has set us free. At this table lies the mystery of our faith. The communion doesn't work without a broken body. To share bread, we must break it. And out of brokenness emerges wholeness and holiness. This is the paradox of life abundant. Love shared not out of perfection, but out of messiness, frailty, and confusion. This is where we are fed and likewise commit to feeding a hungry world, empowered by the divine nourishment of this, the Lord's Supper. Come to the banquet. All are invited. Let us pray. Lord, we come to this table that you have prepared for us, that you have asked us to come to again and again to remember what you did for us at Calvary. But Lord, we also know that this table is a table that brings us all that we need to go back out into the world and to serve you. And we thank you for this bread and this cup and for all that it does and means to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
During the Passover meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body."
At that same Passover meal, Jesus took the cup and he passed it among his disciples and said, "This cup is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus said to his disciples, and he says to us here, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood." Thank you, all of it. God calls us to go back out into the world, to be part of his kingdom, and to enjoy the banquet that he has for us here and forevermore. Don't forget our lemonade in the shade immediately after our hymn of departure, and just right outside those doors, and we will enjoy fellowship together. So these words from Revelation 19. "Happy are those who have been invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. May we be as living loaves kneaded and shaped by the hands of God. May we be as wine of the Spirit poured out that others might know joy. May love be the leaven within us. May it be the flavor of thought and word and deed. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen." Let's eat a pie.